Greetings, brothers and sisters. I would like to invite you to join Every.Black, the premier digital marketplace and directory for Black businesses and entrepreneurs. Membership benefits include representation on 12 websites, 12 Facebook pages, and 12 Twitter accounts. Your company will also be featured in the monthly e-letter. Sign up today by typing in Every.Black. Use the discount promotional code SISI. For more information, call 253-343-7284. When it comes to promoting your business, remember Every.Black.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Black in Business Radio. We are here on Black Talk Radio Network every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we go all the way until 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we like to help entrepreneurs continue their endeavors and also introduce new opportunities for people who are thinking about becoming entrepreneurs. Robert, how are you doing?
I am great, Cece. What a wonderful day this day is.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is a wonderful day. And the show is hosted by myself and Brother Robert. And we just thank you all for joining us. Today is Thursday, August 10th, 2017. So today we have a guest coming on, and her name is Tiffany, and she'll be talking to us about her endeavors in entrepreneurship. I do believe she works a 9-to-5 job, but she's doing some things on the side that we are going to have the honor of talking to her about. One of them is Arise. We'll talk about what Arise is, and we'll also talk about her experience in dealing with tax liens in real estate. Some of you that have never heard of tax liens, you're going to be quite astonished. I mean, there are several opportunities in real estate beyond just having a license. And some would say these other opportunities are actually better than being an agent, because agents only get a certain percentage, and they are just so limited because they are an agent. You know, you're kind of locked in by the government, and there's certain things you cannot do as a real estate agent. Is that true, Robert?
Yes, that is true. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that consider real estate as a career go the, I would call it the job route, you know, getting a license to become an agent and actually going to a real estate company and working for a company. If I was to choose that route, I would certainly open my own real estate company.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That would be my route, because even with that, you know, entrepreneurship should always be at the forefront of what black people do. We mm-hmm. should always become entrepreneurs. So if you want to just sell houses, then open up your own real estate company. You know, there's a local lady here in St. Louis who did that, black woman. And she's pretty large here in St. Louis. She sells real estate. I could get her name just that quick, but hopefully it comes to me, and I'll mention her, give her a shout out during a part of the show. But yes, that's not, you know, the best for me. That's not the best way to come into real estate. When I came into real estate, it was told to me not to even think about becoming an agent. You didn't need to become an agent to own real estate and to be a investor in real estate. And so I bought my first piece of property without the banks and all that, and the rest was history. I was able to see from that point there's no need to become an agent.
Well, I mean, just think about that word agent. What is the definition of an agent? Agent. I'm telling terminology is just great when it is. Okay, so agent, it says, a person who acts on behalf of another person or group. In the event of illness, a durable power of attorney enabled her nephew to act as her agent. Okay, so the synonyms for that would be representative, emissary, envoy, go-between, proxy, negotiator, broker, liaison, spokesperson, spokesman, spokeswoman, informal rep. The sale was arranged through an agent. Definition 2 says, a person or thing that takes an active role or produces a specified effect. Universities are usually liberal communities that often view themselves as agents of social change. And the synonyms for that are medium, means, instrument, vehicle, a cleansing agent. Okay, and it goes into many different other things, but when you say agent, I think of just something stapled down to the government, you know, some sort of, I don't know, just a vice, like, you just trapped, you know, you're an agent. Think about a governmental agent. I mean, I think about people who work for the state. I mean, I don't like that word. So when you tell me I'm a real estate agent, I mean, it just says limit. You know, I don't like limits. So I remember I was told by Mr. Eddie Edwards of Marietta, Georgia. He's a real estate agent, and he works with an investment group, and I hope to get him on. As a matter of fact, we probably will be getting him on soon. He does something in investing, and I remember I was going to real estate school just to find out what it was about. I actually did go through the course, but he told me, he was like, you don't need to become a real estate agent to do real estate at all. What are you doing? And I was like, well, I just want to find out the information or whatever. So, I mean, he was like, you don't need to do any of that. But see, for me, I know how I learn. So I've got to, you know, sometimes just go at it a couple different ways. I was actually glad that I did take the class. But, you know, in the end, I didn't become an agent. One, because I knew I wasn't going to be in Washington forever. And I would have to take the license test all over again wherever I moved. So I just found it useless for myself. But I did gain knowledge and information on certain terms and just different understandings. And I said, this is just, it's a lot of work to gain 6% or whatever it is that these people get. And I just decided, you know, against it. You know, again, the knowledge and information was invaluable. It was great, but nope, I'm definitely interested in other ways. So we are so happy to have Ms. Tiffany on to talk to us about these different things. So and this chatter, I think we'll go ahead and get her on. Let's see if she is here in the studio or on the phone, really. That's what it is. We'll see. Okay.
Well, it is our studio.
It is. It really is, and we will not minimize it. Okay. So let's see here. Tiffany, do we have you on?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, guys.
All right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Enjoying this good cup of coffee this morning.
Ooh, I heard that, honey, because we need it sometimes. My goodness.
Yes.
Well, so welcome to Blacks in Business Radio. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listening audience who you are?
Okay. Well, my name is Tiffany Tayus, and I have two different businesses that I run outside of my regular 9-to-5 job. Basically, I have Arise. It's a telecommunications company where we take phone calls for major companies. And basically, you're doing this in your home. You're at home and you're taking phone calls, just inbound calls where you're not actually having to call customers yourself. And it's for major companies like Staples, Intuit, Disney Reservations Resorts, Comcast, Carnival, and we just had a new company that was just added, and that company is called Airbnb. And I know everyone's heard about Airbnb, but it's a brand new company that's doing basically at-home customer service for people that, you know, can't find a regular 9-to-5, but they can still be at home making money.
Wow. That's wonderful. So how did you get involved with Arise?
Well, it was some years back where a couple of friends was telling me, oh, you can work from home, you know, and I was like, oh, that sounds like a scam, you know. Everything is, you have to be careful of certain things because with this particular company here, you have to actually pay money to take your class, to take your training. And, you know, I understand the concept of, you know, you have to show that you're interested, you're going to have to pay money in order to do it. You know, you're investing in you. And so probably about 5 years ago, I met this lady, and she was telling me she works for this company online, and they do medical calls. And so I started researching it and everything, and I decided to join Arise. And you get a regular paycheck every 2 weeks, just like a regular job, but you're in the comfort of your own home working, you know, and you don't have a set schedule that you have to follow. You can make your own schedule. But first you have to go through a training course. And the different companies that's with Arise, they have different training times. You know, you may train for a month, and you have to pick your schedule if you want to train in the morning or in the evenings, you know. But for the most part, I've noticed that a lot of the company's training is for a month. And, you know, ever since I've been with them, I used to service with T-Mobile. T-Mobile is also one of the companies. So whenever you're making a phone call to someone and you don't hear anyone in the background, where you don't hear other agents talking and stuff like that, 9 times out of 10, they're right there in their home taking phone calls.
Wow. Well, that, you know, because I know about Arise, I'm always wondering, like when I'm on the phone with customer service, I mean, if it's in the Philippines, I'm like, okay, they're in the Philippines. But I'm always like analyzing, okay, where is my customer service person at? You know, if I don't hear like chatter all around and all kind of strange noises, I ask them, I'm like, are you at home?
And that's weird you say that, because I had to call somewhere, my car company, and I spoke with the gentleman, and he was like out in the street at Walmart, and I was like, that's kind of strange. I was like, where are you? And he was like, oh, I'm out, you know, taking care of business. And I was like, what company do you work for? Because it's like, you know, some companies allow you to have to do it on your cell phone, you know, and it's a lot of different companies out here that actually allow their employees or subcontractors to work at home. And you wouldn't have a clue, because most of the time I'm at home in my pajamas with my coffee, with the TV on low, watching Judge Judy and taking photos.
Right. That's it right there. That's it. See,
right.
A lot of people are still really trying to figure out this working situation where, you know, that's why we have this show, so we can encourage entrepreneurship. And it's just really not as difficult as people make it. Now, everything takes effort, and everything does take money. I mean, it just does. Whether it be you have to purchase headset or a better phone or get a landline or, you know, get a business license, all those things, in order for you to be legitimate and make a decent income from home, you have to do them, you know. But it just takes a little bit of encouragement, not necessarily from other people, but from yourself, and say, I can do this, you know, because people have just been put in a box where they think, okay, I got to get up, get dressed, and go outside in order to really make an income. And it's not true. You can definitely work from home. And, I mean, be at home taking care of your children. Now, if I did the Arise contract, subcontract, if I did that, I think I would still have, if I had small children, I would still have someone at my home caring for my children, like in another room, while I worked for a few hours. Because because you definitely want to make sure that your environment is professional. And you want to make sure that your children are still able to be at home. I mean, because that's a benefit from of working from home, is not having to send your children off to some child care or whatever. No shade at child care. I was child care for 11 and a half years, so I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, you know, a benefit of working from home is, you know, you don't have to send your children out, which is great.
Now, for me, I started with a rise, and I have no idea why I didn't complete it. So I'm trying to think, Tiffany, like, what are some people, what are some barriers people may find to signing up or working with Arise? I know one of them would be the training. A lot of people are afraid of that word, training or school. So what are some other barriers that you may find people may have?
The other barriers is, I've noticed, is like a couple of my, couple of employees that I have that work under my company, they, their schedule, sometimes you may get, because like myself, a lot of people still have a 9-to-5. Sometimes you may get caught in traffic because we're here in Atlanta. And sometimes, I'm getting off of work at 5 o'clock because my work schedule varies. If I'm getting off at 5 o'clock one day, I may not get home till 7. You understand? Mm-hmm. And I may, and the training class starts at 6 p.m. So that sometimes you run into that missing the first hour of class or being tardy or being late, because you can't be late for class because they're training you how to help their customers. They're training you about the knowledge of their business, of the how it actually works and what they want you to do. And so they want you to be there on time. Now, also, some things that a couple of people have run into is the fact that they have medical emergencies, or they can't do it for as long as they thought that they could have. You understand? Or their equipment itself, maybe their equipment may crash, or they having problems with their computers passing the requirements. So I make sure that everyone has the proper setup for their computers. And, you know, my sister, she does it under me as well. And she may call me, she called me probably a good week straight. It's like, well, Tiffany, what am I doing wrong? And she's in Michigan, you understand? So it's like, I can't actually see your screen, so I have to tell her, send me screenshots of what this is. And it was just her not clicking on the right button to submit it and to run the program, you know? So it's small things, but when you're running a company, like you said, CC, you're going to, you have to put in that effort. You have to give extra, because nothing is going to come easy, you know? So it's like those little hurdles that you're going through, it's all beneficial, because at the end of the day, you want to be able to live your life the way you want it. You want to be able to make money and not live in that box, because outside of that box, it's a whole lot going on, you know? And the number one thing is the mentally understanding that I can actually work from home, mentally understanding that I still have to pay for this training. Just coming to that, saying that you can actually do it and doing it, that's that number one thing that a lot of people have to get past.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned you may have to get off your job at a certain time, and then you may be kind of running late for your training. Now, the training takes place online, right?
It takes everything is online at home. Yes.
Okay. So this is what I was thinking. Like, you know, I keep hearing this crazy stuff about Atlanta traffic. I mean, I've seen it on TV or whatever, but I just refuse to feed into that, because, I mean, I live in Seattle and traffic is bad too. But I think that you really, really, really have to set yourself up for these situations, because you know they're going to happen. So if you set yourself up for these situations and you know they're going to happen, then you'll be prepared. You know, if you're already ready, you don't have to get ready. So if it were me and I had to take a training and I knew the traffic was bad, I would situate myself at a Starbucks, a quiet place like a library, or even go ahead and rent one of those co-working spaces so that when I got off work, I could go right to a co-working space and go ahead and take my training, and I wouldn't have to worry about being in traffic. And see, these are the ways that you have to think when you are just diligent about, getting this done, you know, for yourself, you know, putting that notch in your belt. These are the things that you have to think of, you know, because you know they're going to happen. You know, you can't just say, well, maybe I'll get through traffic. No, you won't.
No, you
are
won't.
Not getting through traffic.
You will not.
You're
well,
not going to get
me.
Through traffic.
Uh-huh. With me, when I was going through a training program with a Giro, it's a roadside assistance client that they have, because I run an office and I work all the way in Alpharetta, and I live downtown, and I live downtown in the city. What I would do during that training program for the whole month, I actually brought my laptop with me to work. So when I'm in traffic, I'm actually still on my computer. I set everything up before I start so that I'm there in class when class starts. You understand? So it's like, and that's the pre-planning and being dedicated to what you say you're going to do and completing it. Because it's like, I know 9 times out of 10 that I will be late. You know, some days may be good. But when the 85 bridge burned down, everyone was late. You understand? And those things that you can't, you know, that you don't know that's going to happen, but if you plan ahead, you're going to always be ready, and that laptop is there, and I'm in traffic on the laptop listening and in class.
There you go. See, people, I mean, you can definitely make it happen, but I think a big thing is you just have to come out of that mind enslavement, that brainwashing, that you can't do it. I mean, you can do it. Just like, you know, if you're going to go on a trip, you have to prepare for what you're going to need. You have to pack, you know. So it's the same thing. If you know that you may run into these barriers, you better come up with a plan B, C, D, E, F, G, you know. Come up with those strategies so that you know that you can get it done. And it makes you feel so successful when you know, man, I planned for this. I knew something was going to happen. And now I'm just ready. Yes.
Right.
Know? And that just is just so very important, because it's not just for you. I mean, most of us have children. It's not just for you, but your children need to see you putting those types of things in place, because they do. They carry that information, and then they will learn how to plan. So, I mean, I think that's a good thing. Now, when I was thinking about doing a rise, it was like right when I was here in St. Louis. I know it was when I was moving to St. Louis, because I'm like, okay, what am I going to do when I get there? I definitely don't want to work no job. So I was thinking about doing a rise, and I think I stopped because I needed to get a business license in St. Louis. I want to say that, I mean, but it can't be that, because I remember I was going to use my Washington business license. I don't remember what it was, but see, you can't let those things stop you. You have to have daily goals. Get a calendar. And if there's something that is impeding your success, you need to go ahead and attack that the next day. You know, you go ahead, you get your calendar out, you start the process, because it is a process. The application is long. Fill out the application, and if there's something, and they even let you stop it for a while, and then you come back to it. If there's something in that application process that is stopping you, hey, you don't stress out. Just go ahead and put that on the calendar for the next day, and then you're going to tackle it. And sometimes it's a money issue. Sometimes you need to spend $200-something on a business license. Well, let's think of some strategies how we can come up with the money. Well, then that's where you go into you need to go in your closet and sell some of them shoes or those purses. Or,
exactly,
you know, maybe you need to do some little odd jobs. I mean, there's some things that you need to do. Stop drinking that $5 coffee. You know, there's some things that you can do. But again, if you are diligent and you are dedicated and you are serious about making this thing happen when you get to work from home, then you will make these things happen. Robert, what do you think about that?
I mean, you guys are covering this right now. I'm listening and learning. This is something that I'm not familiar with, but I'm definitely learning some other alternatives of cash streams of income. So continue on, please.
Well, I mean, I know you haven't had the issue of working on a job for many years, but for those that are looking to migrate off... Why are you laughing? Those who are looking to migrate off of a job and want to work for themselves, this is definitely a start in doing that. Again, there's an application process, and, you know, the website would definitely tell you what it is that is needed. So, Tiffany, what is that website that they, well, no, let's not even do that, because what I want to do is be able to have them work through you if possible. So how does that happen?
Basically, they can send me an email, or they can give me a phone call. And the name of my company is B. Alexis Communications. And we can just, but they would have to go through the whole the application process with Arise first, and then sign me up as the company that they're going to work under.
Oh, okay. So they do still need to go through the whole Arise process.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's at Arise.com. Yes.
Okay. Arise.com, and then your company is called B. Alexis
Communications. Yes.
B. Alexis Communications. Perfect. Okay. Yes. So that's how it goes, you guys. You need to go to Arise.com, go through the application, and then Tiffany can be the person. What do you call it? What do you call the person that you are?
I am the I'm the individual business owner, independent business owner that has the agents underneath them. You know, I set up your payroll. I give you advice throughout the training. If you have to be away, let's say you're going on vacation, and this is outside of the training time, just when you're working, when you have to go on vacation, or you may have to visit a sick family member or something, you take time away, and I'll submit those on your behalf. And any questions or anything about any programs or concerns, they will reach out to me.
Okay. So let's say I start out with Arise, and you know, I really don't have anything going on, and I want to be in the position that you're in. Is there a waiting period or something like that?
No.
Or is it just an instant? Oh, no. Okay.
No.
Okay.
It's not at all. They would just have to go into their profile and set up themselves as a business. They would have to have an LLC, though, in whatever state that they're in. Like you say, you was in Washington. You would have to have your LLC in Washington there with, with the basic Secretary of State, Articles of Incorporation. You know, you set yourself up like that, and then you would take care of your own payroll. You would then try to hire agents like I have underneath my company.
Okay, so how many agents do you have under you now?
I only have 3 right now, but it kind of fluctuates. It fluctuates from time to time because sometimes you have people that say they want to do it, you know, and they say, oh, I have the equipment, I have this, but, you know, life happens and everybody, you know, handles things differently and they can't do it, you understand? So it's like, and some people are gung-ho and it's like, yes, I want to do it. But then, you know, eventually they'll say, I want to start doing what you're doing, Tiffany. How do I do you? How do I do what you're doing? You know, because with Arise, I automatically have to take $20 out of their pay to cover the fee for working with Arise, $20. And then whatever I charge, because I have to make money as well in this particular business. So it's like sometimes I will have different agents that's underneath me, and I would charge them 10% of their income, whatever they make, 10% of their check. Or I could say I'm going to charge you $2 per hour. I'm going to charge, so if the company pays $12 an hour, you're going to get paid $10 an hour, and I take over the other two.
Okay. So how much, just a ballpark, can a person expect to make in this company, whether it be in what you're doing or if they're just going to kind of be under you?
Well, if you're going to be under me, it all depends on how much you work, basically. You know, it's like you can work a regular 40-hour a week, you know, and you get paid every 2 weeks. That's approximately $800. $800 every 2 weeks that you're getting paid. So if you want to just work it part-time, you're only doing 20 hours a week. And that's still a $400 check you're going to have at the end of the every 2 weeks for your pay period. Now, I don't take out any taxes or anything like that, so of course you have to take care of that when you file your taxes every year, you know. But but with my situation, that's if you're an agent working underneath me. But if you're an independent business owner yourself, you can make it, and if you're working as well, you can make a good amount of money doing it, because if you have people that's motivated to work, motivated to get money, and they're working just as hard as you're working, everyone's making money. And outside of the Arise check I get for myself for servicing, I also get paid for my agents that's working as well, you know? So, but it all depends on how much they're working.
Right, right. Now, had you ever thought of this as an alternative? Like, again, we go back, I always go back to barriers because that is just, they stop people big time. Yeah. So, had you thought of just doing like a co-working space with everything available for people to come and work, so that what if they don't want to work from home?
Right. And you know what? I was thinking about that. I was definitely thinking about that a couple of years ago, because I can have like a space here in my home where I have a few computers set up where they can come in and work, because you're right, because some people still do have the mind frame of getting out of their home and going to work. You know what I'm saying? Because when I first started doing it, when I was working with T-Mobile under Arise some years back, I had to get out of my mind, like, okay, my home used to be my safe place, my relaxation spot where I'm away from work. And then to put work into my home, it was like, hold on now, this ain't working. I want to sleep and chill and watch TV. You know, this is not the place for work, but you have to make a space for it. And I have to mentally get myself prepared for that. I have to mentally say, okay, this is my work time, this is my work area. But yes, I was thinking about that, doing that, where people that's in the Atlanta area, they want to come in and work part-time. And I was thinking about doing that. And I may look into a little bit further since you mentioned it.
Now, you don't have to have them at your house. I mean, you could definitely, like, they have call centers that are already set up.
Right. There are call centers that set up, like, out, like in the office space. I understand that. And that's something I was thinking about, yes. Something I was thinking about.
Okay, because I have a young lady that I've met when I was in Atlanta 2 weeks ago. She actually is looking for employment, and as I'm thinking about her, because I'm definitely going to send you her information, I'm thinking about her. She's young, and I just know she doesn't have the equipment to go forward. So if she just had somewhere to go, then bam, and she is in sales. So this is, like, perfect. Right. That would totally be perfect for her. So if she has somewhere to go, then, you know, you guys could get going, and you could help her, and she could help you, and then there you go. So, yeah, so that's, I'm thinking about those people who have those barriers of, okay, I don't have a computer, I don't have equipment, you know, but I do have experience in sales because I'm used to working a 9-to-5 at T-Mobile, but now I don't work there anymore, you know. So you would be able to accommodate everybody, those that want to go somewhere and that don't have the equipment, and those who are able to be at home and can get the equipment. So that way you just be a win-win. And you said you just have 3 people. Well, that's a big deal, honey, because like you said, some people are like, they say they want to do it, but then next thing you know, you don't hear from them, and then they're working at Walmart. So it's like, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's be happy with the 3 people and just build from those 3, you know, and maybe offer incentive to those that do bring, you know, people on. They get some sort of incentive, and, you know, because we like free things, you know, offer incentive for those that bring people on and they stay at least 3 months, something like that.
Right.
I mean, let's come up with a program. Oh, you do?
I do have an incentive where if you work 3 months, you get your money back that you have to pay for your training, you know. And some of those training classes is like $250, you know. Some of them are $99. Some of them are $79 or $49, like Comcast. Their class is only like $29.99, you know.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, and they say if you're not willing to pay, that's the thing, if you're not willing to pay this for you, you know, it's like, why would we just give it to you? You know, we want you to pay for your training, pay for the information that we're providing to you and giving you the opportunity to make money and or be a business owner.
Right, right. I mean, I'm just thinking of all kind of things at this moment. Like, what if we did, like, a Rise GoFundMe or something like that, and then, like, people could put back in, like, those people who are already in a Rise, they know the struggle of trying to pay for things, and then they could contribute, you know, or even there's a benefit to contributing. I mean, but people should want to do that automatically, but just contribute to those who might be struggling, but for some reason you can see, you can see, like, these people definitely have potential, they just don't have money, and you want to help them. But I mean, I think of all kind of things, you know, just especially empowering our people, because we are not given the information like everyone else. So if we can help empower somebody and put them on the right path, man, you just never know who it is that you're empowering. It's just like You never know who you're birthing when you have a baby. You never know who it is that you're empowering when you put our people or give our people the skills to do what they need to do. So, yeah, I'm excited about your Arise potential because mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I tap into it myself. So Monday morning, tomorrow, I'll be looking at that again. They probably don't still have my application on file. I'll have to start over, but that's fine. But yes, tell people one more time how they get started with Arise.
Okay, with Arise, if you're going to be a customer service agent, basically you're going to go to arise.com, ARISE.com, and you're going to have to take a customer service, like, exam. And you sign up, and once you get through the initial application portion of the site itself, then you sign up under my company if you want to work underneath me, and it's going to be Alexis Communications. And you can give me anyone can give me a phone call if they have any questions or if they're interested in Arise becoming a customer service agent and or a business owner. You know, my phone number is 404-732-3304. Or you can send me an email, and my email is Tiffany, spelled traditionally, Tyuse, T-Y-U-S-E, @gmail.com. Tiffany Tyuse @gmail.com.
Okay, and they could also probably reach out to you on Facebook?
Yes. My Facebook is my private Facebook page. It's Miss Make It Happen. Miss Make It Happen. Tiffany Miss Make It Happen on Facebook.
Okay, and they can inbox you because, I don't know, people yes. sometimes don't use the phone anymore. I don't know, especially these young people. I don't know. It's crazy. But yes.
Call you from Facebook.
Yes, that right. And it's like, oh Lord, why are you call and with the camera? It's like,
right.
I don't know.
I'm not ready.
Right. I don't know you to be calling me like that. Shoot, you don't know what I'm doing, and you got the camera on me. No, ma'am. Ignore. But yes, I definitely understand. You know, people. We just want to break down your struggles or anything that you may have as a barrier. So. You know, we are offering you this wonderful opportunity to tap into Arise with Miss Tiffany. So definitely check into this opportunity, okay? And again, you are listening to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. We're here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please support blacktalkmediaproject.org. All righty. So, let's see, we are at, 49 minutes in. So, Tiffany, let's go ahead and start talking about the other endeavor that you have with tax liens. Tell us what tax liens are.
Okay, well, tax liens is a penalty. It's like when you pay your credit card bill late, you have a penalty that's placed on your bill, where it be $5, $5.95 or a $10 late fee. It's a fee that's put on your property tax bill for your property taxes that you pay every year. Well, with Fulton County, it's every year. And that fee is called a lien. And that lien is put on in the public records at the courthouse. Now, when it's put on public records at the courthouse, you know, the three credit bureaus, they come down to the courthouse to retrieve public information, and that lien is placed on your credit. So it's not only just on the public records at the courthouse, it's also on your credit itself with the credit bureaus. And that lien, it can be purchased. It can be purchased, and not everyone do it. In Fulton County, you can purchase liens. But, you know, Georgia has 159 different counties, and not all counties actually have tax liens. But Fulton County does, and you go into the delinquent tax property tax division at Fulton County, the tax commissioner's office, and you go to the counter and you say, I want to purchase the liens on 892 Reed Street. You say, I want to purchase those liens, and those liens could range anywhere from little to $200 all the way up to $20,000 or even more. But you can purchase those liens on a property, the debt. You're paying their taxes and the late fees that's on there.
Okay. So once I pay the taxes and the late fees, what happens next?
Basically, you purchase those liens that's on the property. It's kind of, okay, let's say you're purchasing liens for a property for the past 5 years. Now, as long as it's 24 months since those taxes was originally due, you can take those liens that you purchased today at the courthouse, well, tomorrow morning at the delinquent tax department, and you can take them to the courthouse. And you say, I want to go ahead on and collect on my liens. I want to get paid my money. Because when you purchase liens in Fulton County, you're going to charge a 10% penalty. You're going to charge a 10% penalty and 1% interest every month. That's what you're charging the property owner for you purchasing their liens for them. You're not purchasing their liens for them. You're actually doing it for yourself, but now they owe you money. So you're going to charge a 10% penalty and 1% interest every month. Now, the longer that you wait to bring those tax liens to the courthouse to collect, of course, the more money you're going to make. You know, but during that particular time frame, you have to contact this property owner and tell them, hey, I purchased your liens, and, you know, let's make up some arrangement to where you can go ahead on and take care of the taxes. You know, pay me my money back. And 9 times out of 10, the tax liens are there because they can't afford it. And so that's when you go into a situation where they can't afford it, or you wait the 6 months. When you purchase the liens, you have to give the property owner a year of redemption, a year to pay you back. So you let them know, hey, I have your liens. This is how much you owe currently. And so they put on notice that you actually own their liens to their property. Now, if they don't pay you back within that year, basically you can take it to the courthouse stairs, and that's when they auction it off. Now, sometimes, a lot of times, it's either you're going to get your money back plus the penalty and interest, or you're going to wind up with the property. And it's all dependent upon where the property is, if anyone else is interested in the property, or if you go on that courthouse stairs and everyone is interested in that property, you're going to get your money plus your 10% penalty and the 1% interest that's been accruing on this property every single month. So those are your two things if you're bringing it to the courthouse stairs. Either you're going to end up with that house, with the deed itself, or you're going to make more money. Now, if you decide not to take that, excuse me?
Okay, hold on 1 minute. So, question on that part there. Even when you buy the liens, mm-hmm. The owner, that property owner, doesn't make good on the lien, okay, and you got your money out there. So you're saying that you still have to go to the auction with that property?
No, you don't have to. That's just the rules that they have in place. So you can hold on to it for 2 years, 3 years, and continue to let it grow, you know. But, you know, after 7 years, you have to do something before that seven-year time has come up, or everything you paid is basically like a gift. So however long you decide to wait, you can decide to take it to the courthouse and end up with those two options where you can either get possession of that deed, or you're going to get your money back plus the penalty and interest. Or outside of that, let's say you don't want to take it to the courthouse. Let's say this is a property that your mom purchased some years back, and, you know, she doesn't have the property anymore. It's something about this house. Maybe for 5 years from now, they're going to be redoing this area, redeveloping the area. You really want this house for some reason. But whatever that reason is, outside of taking it back to the courthouse stairs, you can try to work something out with the property owner. You'd be like, hey, you know, what is your plan? What do you plan on doing with the property? Because either I'm going to take it to the courthouse stairs, or we can work something out, because it could be a house that their grandmother left them, and they're young, and they see the property more as a liability than an asset, you know? And so then it's like, well, you know, if you can offer, you may want to offer them $5,000 for the property. They may not even want the property. They may not even be living in the property at all, you know, but there are other options other than just taking it to the courthouse stairs. You can work something out with them, because once you purchase those liens, you have a vested interest in that property. You are a part of that property because you purchased those liens, and that property owes you money. You understand?
I got a few buddies of mine that go to the actual tax liens and buy properties, and one particular case, the guy bought a property with a tenant in it, and right. as you said, the tenant had 1 year to make good on the on that actual whatever he spent on that property.
Right. Now,
where I was a little confused at is what you said in terms of the actual acquisition of the property. Let's say that tenant is in that property and that tenant doesn't make good. And I heard you make reference to going back to the courthouse, and and what I thought I heard was that property would be up for sale at the courthouse. It would go into auction. Is that what I heard?
Yes. Yes, that's what you're doing. When you're taking it back to the courthouse, when you're taking it to the sheriff's office, you're saying, I'm ready to collect my money. And
when you're saying, I'm ready to collect my money, I don't want the money. I want the property.
Right, and see, and that's the thing. So if you want that property, it may not be in your best interest to take that to the sheriff's office. If that's what your end result is for the property, you need to work something out with that property owner.
Oh, so if you take it to the auction, you're hoping that it sells for much more than what you paid for it, right?
Yeah, well, you're hoping it sells, period, because you're going to automatically get the money you paid plus 10% penalty and 1% interest every month that's been accruing while you're holding on to those liens.
Is that 10%, is that the most amount you can make on the interest when you acquire or pay for these liens, or does that vary from state to state?
Well, I just know about with the tax liens with Fulton County. Now, different cities do different things. So it's two different things that's going on here. You have the tax liens, and you're having a tax sale. So the tax sale in Fulton County is going to happen every first Tuesday of every month, regardless if anyone's bringing liens or not. You know, because you have properties that other people have purchased liens on, and they want to they're ready to collect. They have people who have mechanics liens on properties, and they're ready to collect. Mechanic, you know, they're different type of liens. The state even have their liens on properties as well. So it's like that sale is going to happen. Even the foreclosures, they're on the courthouse stairs, and there are so many different things that's going on the courthouse stairs. That's why I always tell people, go out to the tax sale before you want to just throw your money in it. Find out everything that's going on. They're selling seized vehicles. You know, they're selling whole lots of things out there, and you just have to make sure that before you invest your money into something, that you know the entire process, or you know what you want your end result to be. Now, once you bring it to the courthouse stairs, it's not a guarantee that you're going to end up with that house, because somebody else may be interested in that house. Joe Blow may want to purchase the house as well, you know, so they're bidding on it. They're bidding on that. But no matter whoever wins it, if you have those liens, you're getting your money. You're getting paid out your money. You understand? And so it's like, that's why I try to tell people, it's either you're going to get the house or you're going to make money. Even if you don't get the house, at least you've made money, you know? And then whatever money you've made off of that, you can go back in and purchase more and do the whole process all over again. Find another situation where someone is not paying their taxes. And once you pay someone tax liens on their property, you will be amazed with the different situations that's going on with the property. You know, once you start speaking with the property owners, you find out all kind of stuff that they really don't even want the housing. Yeah, here, you can take it if you want to. I don't want it. Just give me something for it. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it's going to go to the courthouse regardless. Someone's going to end up with that property. And 9 times out of 10, if they're not paying their taxes, they can't afford it. You know?
And see, the thing, what you just said, something else that, you know, that a lot of people who have heard about this tax lien, tax auction, really, they don't know the difference between the two. You just made mention that it's a tax lien, and then there's a tax auction. Those are two separate two totally different things. So for the listening audience, can, again, explain those two differences for somebody that's coming into this or thinking about going into this game and don't have a clue, the tax lien auction. And
I think it's a tax deed and tax lien. Like in Washington State, it's a tax deed.
Explain the difference.
Yeah, with here in Fulton County, it is a tax lien. When you purchase that tax lien, you're not going to auction. You're not going to bid with anyone. You're basically when they put the delinquent tax. And the thing about this is all public information. You can go to the tax commissioner's website and look at different properties. Let's say your neighbor, it's a vacant house next door to you and people be in and out of it. And you're just like, I'm interested in this property. You can pull them up online or go to the tax office itself and look and see what's due. Those liens, you don't have to wait in line or anything like that. You just go and say, I want to purchase the liens on this property. Point blank, period. And that's it. They give you your paperwork. They actually come back within a couple of days, and they give you the liens itself, and you file them at the courthouse, and it's put on public record, and also it's going to be on the credit reports, you know, all that entire same process. And so those are the tax liens. That's where you're making your money, where your money starts from the moment you purchase those liens. Now, the tax sale is when they're selling the actual tax deed of the properties. Now, let's say Robert, you actually go to a tax. You can start at the tax lien part, or you can just go to for a tax sale. Let's just say Tuesday you're going to go to a tax sale at the courthouse, and it's a property that's in your neighborhood that you've been researching, and you saw it's coming up for sale in the Daily Report newspaper, because every county have their own newspaper that they advertise stuff in, like public auctions, public storage auctions, where tow companies have their vehicles where people not paying their tolls, they auction off those vehicles. Those is all in the Daily Report. It's a newspaper that they have for each particular county. But it's advertised in this paper saying that the house next door to you is coming up for tax sale. Somebody else purchased those liens probably a year or two ago. So you decide to go to the courthouse stairs and say, hey, I want to purchase this property, and it went up to $10,000, and you're the winning bidder. So you go down and pay your money for the actual tax deed. That's what you're going to have in your hand if you're purchasing from the tax stairs. At the courthouse stairs, you're going to have possession of a tax deed. Now, that particular tax deed, you have to hold on to that for a year and a day. You have to give that property owner the right to redeem their tax deed. And if they don't, because if you're possessing that tax deed, if they don't, then you own that property. That's your property. You have to bring it back to the courthouse, say that the property owner didn't pay you, and it's going to be converted into your name. That's going to be your property. But you can also start it at the tax lien at that part where you're bringing it to the stairs. So it's like if you want to bring it to the stairs or if you're going to the stairs yourself, either way it go, a property is going to end up at the stairs. You have to decide on which end you want to be on. You want to be on the tax lien end where you're making money, where you invested your money and you're making money. Or you want to go in at the tax deed, at the tax sale portion where you just get in possession of the deed. But either way, on a tax lien or a tax deed, you still have to give the property owner their year of redemption. But when you purchase in a tax lien portion, you have to understand that you have that year of redemption for them to pay the taxes back. But if they don't pay it, when you bring it to the courthouse stairs, let's say you end up with the property, you still have the tax deed. You still have to wait another year with that as well.
Now, if the property is in, like, let's just say last year I didn't pay my property taxes for my property, and you go to the public website or the tax assessor's website, you saw that for this particular address, the last few years they didn't pay taxes for that property. It's 1 year behind. Can I purchase that particular year of taxes?
No, you have to purchase everything that's on there. You can't just purchase one. You have to purchase everything.
If it's just 1 year, I'm saying if it's just 1 year, if they only didn't pay for 1 year. They're only 1 year behind.
As long as there's a lien on it, yes, you can. Okay. As long as there's a lien on it, you can purchase it.
And you have to be in a state, in a county, in a state that's actually selling the lien.
And that property is not up for tax deed sale to after 3 years, right?
No, it ain't up for tax sale, because if you purchase that lien, it's up for tax. It don't come up for tax sale until you bring it up for tax sale, because you own the liens. You're controlling this.
Now, and I'm saying in reference to the actual physical property in St. Louis, from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's properties that go up for tax deed sales are usually 3 years in the rear and taxes.
Right. There, and see, that's when in St. Louis it works differently than it does in Fulton County and in Atlanta. In St. Louis, yes, they have to be 3 years delinquent before they're brought up for tax sale. Now, once it goes up for tax sale in St. Louis, Missouri, in the city of St. Louis, Missouri, once it goes up for tax sale, once you purchase that, once you go to that auction and purchase, that home is yours. There's no year of redemption you have to give the property owner. They got their year of redemption prior to that sale, because that particular city, they've already notified, the courts notified the property owner a year before the tax sale. So they have all the way up until the day of the tax sale to come and pay their money. Their year of redemption is before the tax sale. So once it goes to tax sale, it's yours. If I purchased a home there in St. Louis City, the city of St. Louis, last year of August, and it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath on a basement, on a full basement, all brick structured home on a very nice lot for $1,600. $1,600. The property is mine. I have to pay the property tax. The property tax is $200 every year. You understand? But it's an investment. Where can you purchase a house for $1,600? Nowhere.
Nowhere. True.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. You can't do that. Okay, so this is a property you purchased in the city of St. Louis, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so those that are listening, okay, you purchased this property for $1,600. And the process is different. So take us through it again. If I am interested, I'm like, dang, this sounds crazy. I thought I had to go to a real estate agent. I thought I had to have good credit. I thought I had to have all my ducks in a row in order to purchase property. I'm like, maybe I was kind of listening, but now I'm really listening. Tiffany, you got my attention. I live in the city of St. Louis. I want to buy property like you did for $1,600. Tell me again what I need to do.
Okay, basically there's a listing that comes out every year, because the tax sales in St. Louis, it starts in June of every year. It's June, July, August, and October. And that listing, you would have to go through that list, because I do it every year. I go through this long list, and it's pages of properties. And you have to know what your end result is. You have to know what you want. Do you want a piece of land? Or do you want a billboard, or do you want a structure, a house, you know? And you go through the list, you look at the taxes, how much the taxes are every year. You have to look at the property itself. You have to, you know, you can go to Google Maps and research the property, and you can go to the St. Louis, the City of St. Louis website and look at the property to see what citations they have on a property, what code violations they may have with maybe the roof and cave in. If the roof's cave in, I'm passing that, because I grade all my properties A, B, C, or F, you know. So you have to do your research on these particular properties, and you may see a few properties that you'd be like, okay, I'm interested in this, interested in that. And so you're going to go to the tax sale itself. But when you go up to the St. Louis City, you're already there, so you have your listing of properties that you're interested in. You go by and look at them, see if you can go look around the property, see if it's a nice structure, look at the neighborhood. And that's the thing about it as well, as far as neighborhoods. I know that every neighborhood is not the ideal neighborhood you want to live in, but
people still live there. They still pay rent there, you know. So someone's still going to live there. You still can collect your rent. But you go through it and look at the property itself, look at the neighborhood, and look at the amount that they're charging for it. I'm telling y'all, sometimes I'm in these auctions, these houses go for the amount that they owe on taxes,
right,
or the exact amount that they owe, you know. But then there's other properties, depending on the side of town it's on, depending on, you know, the area that the property is in, you're going to be bidding with other people, and you have to know your limit, what you're willing to actually pay and what you're not willing to pay for a property, you know. But you're going to have, you know, the ones that you really want, you know what I'm saying? So you go to the auction and say you get a bid number. They're going to ask for your ID. You have to fill out the little form. They're going to give you a bid number, and the auction is going to start, I believe it starts at 9 a.m. And it's always best to get there early. Get you a seat, because a lot of times it's standing room only. There's so many people. But when I used to go years ago, it used to didn't be that many people. But now every year it's like more and more people. But you go to the auction, and when you're ready to bid on your property, you have to pay attention to what's coming up. Now, also there at the courthouse, what they do have is a listing of all the properties itself on a billboard, on like a easel with posters on easels, with the listing, the newspaper listing of all the properties. And what they're doing that morning before the sale is marking out the properties that someone has come in and paid that morning. You know, because you still, the property owner still has up until that date to pay it, you know.
Wow.
And so that's why I say get there early, because if you read the list and realize three of your properties not there, then you can mark those off the list, you know. So it's just preparing and being aware of what's going on, you know. But once you actually pay for it, you will, they will have you go upstairs and you fill out your paperwork and everything like that, and the property is basically yours. You're going to go file across the street and file the paperwork to get it inspected, and tell them you don't know the actual date that you're going to get it inspected, but those are the other little steps that you have to take care of. But at the end of the day, you purchased a house for $1,000 or $2,500, even $3,000 or $5,000. The thing is the fact that you can actually, you can purchase property without going, having to have a mortgage on it. I have I have a house for $1,600 with no mortgage. I'm just paying property taxes.
Okay, now let me ask you this. So you just talked about that process, but we were talking to another gentleman. I mean, he really didn't have everything together as far as presentation, but he's done this apparently. Like, you can find a property that's just like sitting or whatever, and you're interested in it, and he's telling me you can walk into the tax office and just put you know, your bid out there, like without going through the tax office, and you just say,
right,
hey, I want to pay $400 for this property, and they can like grant that to you. How does that part work?
Right. See, just like here in Fulton County is a tax lien and a tax sale, two separate things. That's the same thing in St. Louis, the tax sale. Then you also have your land bank. Your land bank in city of St. Louis, because outside of city of St. Louis is the suburbs. And in the suburbs of St. Louis, the St. Louis County and all of them, they have their own tax sales as well.
Right.
And they operate completely different from city of St. Louis. But with the land bank, I saw a property that I grew up in St. Louis on Massett Avenue. I lived in this particular property. I didn't grow up there because I'm from New Orleans, but I lived in St. Louis for a few years. And the house we stayed in is a duplex, two family flat, and it costs, you can do an opening bid for $2,000. If it's a one family flat house, if it's a one family house, you can start your bid at $1,000. If it's two family flat, you have to start at $2,000. So you can go in there to the land bank and say, hey, I want this particular property, you know, and they're gonna ask you, they're going to ask you for all your information, the same thing. You don't have to go bidding at the courthouse. This is just a property that's in their land bank that went to tax sale, but no one purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes into the land bank, and you can go and put your bid in for the minimum amount, $2,000 or $1,000, whatever that particular minimum bid is for that particular property, and 9 times out of 10, they're going to grant it to you. Now, see, And that's one thing that we was just talking about, thinking outside of the box, but
at that particular time when I wanted to purchase the home that I lived in St. Louis, I, you know, talking to my family, it's like, hey, I'm thinking about purchasing that, guys. What y'all think? You know, and it's like when you're speaking to people about purchasing land or purchasing houses outside of the traditional methods mm-hmm. of purchasing, people mm-hmm. they don't know about that. They can't give you no solid advice or encourage you. It's like, well, what's wrong with the property? Maybe something wrong with it, you know,
right.
Whatever. But I was dragging mm-hmm. my feet to the point where when I wanted to go pay for it, someone had came in a day before me.
Oh.
A day before me and got my house. Well, got the house that I live in. It's not my house, because if it was, what?
because you trying to get that support from your family,
right.
But not really realizing they don't even have the ability to give you that support because they're still stuck in mortgage world. They can't even
right.
understand what the heck you're trying to do, and you just right. always doing something.
So always something. Tim, you always up to yeah. something.
Yeah, so they, like, cannot resonate with what it is that you're talking about. So in doing
right.
that, instead of you going with your wherewithal and just saying, ooh, right. let me do this, you lost it by one day.
By one day. By one day, but I'm telling you,
yeah,
I pondered it. Huh?
No,
I'm sorry.
So what would you suggest to the listening audience in reference to that story, what not to do, and what should they do?
I'm telling you what not to do. Don't wait on nobody. If you
right.
want to do it, do it. Don't wait for someone else. Don't wait to see if someone else is going to do it. Don't wait to see if someone agrees with you. Honestly, I'm right now, I'm going to purchase two lots of land in Tennessee. Mm. And it's 280 by 200. 280 mm. width and 200 in depth for $400.
By 200 feet.
Yeah, for $400.
Wow.
For $400.
Oh, good. That's great.
$400.
For $400.
And if you just did a flea market, if you decided you want to do an outdoor flea market, selling spaces by the day, $10
right.
per 10 by 10 space,
right?
You're going to win.
I'm going to win.
Wow.
I'm going to win.
Well, that is amazing. So, Tiffany, we talked before. Now, you might be just totally the Harriet Tubman for some people right now, because you just have given some jewels that people don't know about, because our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know what I'm
yes.
saying? You
yes.
know, we get into these mortgage situations, we get into all this debt, and we don't need to do it. We just don't need to do it. And you have given us a pathway. And there'll be some people that are listening to this that still be scared. What about this? What about that? What about this? What?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know
mm-hmm.
what? But,
yeah.
Right. There will be some people that are like, dang, hey, I got a few coins saved up. Let me
mm-hmm.
figure out how I can do this. Shoot, I can't
mm-hmm.
I can't lose by trying, you know, but I can
right.
lose if I don't try. So if they want to mm-hmm. reach out to you so that they can, like, go through your class, your course
mm-hmm.
that you've created to extend this information and so they can actually execute it, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can call me. My phone number is 404-732-3304, and they can also email me at Tiffany, spelled traditionally, Tyuse, T-Y-U-S-E, @gmail.com. TiffanyTyuse@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Now, because you've done the actual research and you know which areas don't have redemption periods, you
mm-hmm.
know which areas have what lots available if, like, they want to purchase lots, like you said,
yeah.
in Tennessee. You have
mm-hmm.
that information available,
yeah.
and people can literally come to you directly without doing the research. Now, they're
yeah,
going to pay
yeah.
for this
mm-hmm.
information, but you've already done that research. And you could just literally hand them over the how-to and what-to, and they can just
yes.
go forth with whatever you have on the menu for them. So this is blessed information, people. If you are interested in real estate without the mortgage, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, you definitely need to reach out to Ms. Tiffany, because she can help you get all your ducks in a row and go to these auctions and
mm-hmm.
get the information that you need to go forth. So, Tiffany, we just want to tell you thank you for joining us today. It's been a great experience. And no problem. Feel free to come back at any time with any information that you have for our people, because that's what we look to do, which is empower. Robert, do you have any last words?
Yes. Thank you for this information. You know, I came alive. This is my I love real estate. That's my thing right there. I come alive when we talk about real estate. And I want to also, I got something I want to share with you in reference to creating mortgages, Tiffany. I mean, you getting them right.
Joining
so
conference
what,
now.
If I were you,
this
I would
conference
be setting
is being
up
recorded
these
by
homes,
the organizer.
You know, for the people to buy them, and you become the bank and do a 20-year mortgage. And that's where I'm an expert at with that.
Okay.
I can show you how to do that with no problem. You'll be amazed at how quick you'll learn that process and be able to do that for the rest of your life.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely would like to know.
Yes, and when you come to St. Louis, we definitely look forward to meeting with you. But everyone, thank you for joining us for this hour of Blacks in Business Radio. Join us every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, Black Talk Radio Network, and we look forward to talking to you again in the next hour, actually. So thank you very much for joining us, and be safe. Okay, and Tiffany, thank you, and we're going to speak to you again soon, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. I would like to invite you to join Every.Black, the premier digital marketplace and directory for Black businesses and entrepreneurs. Membership benefits include representation on 12 websites, 12 Facebook pages, and 12 Twitter accounts. Your company will also be featured in the monthly e-letter. Sign up today by typing in Every.Black. Use the discount promotional code SISI. For more information, call 253-343-7284. When it comes to promoting your business, remember Every.Black.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Can you hear me now? Can you all hear me? Yes, you can, because I hear myself talking online. Basically, sorry about that, you guys making a transition here. I know there's feedback, so let me go out of this. Okay. All right. So welcome back to Blacks in Business Radio. You all just listened to our tax lien, tax deed information, and we had Miss Tiffany Tayus on, and, you know, that was a lot of information. And of course, if you're hearing it for the first time, we don't expect you to completely understand the ins and outs of tax liens. But just know that you don't have to go out and get a mortgage. There's no reason to do that. There's no reason to get a mortgage. There's no reason to be in a huge amount of debt for 30 plus years, you know. But these are things that people never, ever talk to us about, you know. And it's like, wow, we've been given, like, the keys to enlightenment at this point. But I want to make sure that you all heard Tiffany's information. Her phone number is area code 404-732-3304. Let me see if I can get her email address for you real quick. Tiffany's email address is, okay, Tiffany, TiffanyTyuse at gmail.com. TiffanyTyuse at gmail.com. So very excited to have that information from her again, you know. And if you all need more information, you can, of course, email us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com, or you could give us a call, area code 253-343-7284. You know, don't hesitate in, you know, you listen to this program for the first time. It's podcasted. So go back into the program with your pad, a paper, sit down and take notes. And what you must do is find out what kind of state you have. Is it a tax lien state or is it tax deed state? You know, because those two things operate differently. Does your state have a redemption period? Tiffany talked about the redemption period. You know, in Atlanta, I guess she was saying that once you purchase the property, the person has about a year before they come back and say, hey, well, wait, I want to buy my property, or I want to pay for my taxes or whatever. And in St. Louis, that's not true. You know, but once you purchase it, that's it. Your property. And I did pull something up online, and I actually put it in our flyer. Let me see if I can find it here in my pictures. Let's see. Yes. So there's actually a picture that I have, and it says U.S. tax lien versus tax deed state. So I would pretty much say that there's, well, no, I think there's more tax deed states than tax lien states, and that just seems like a little bit more red tape. But, you know, either way, you can definitely reach out to us so that you can get help on doing that. And me personally, I'm very excited because a lot of times you wonder how you can actually execute these things and put them in place. And it's funny that we're doing this show because a couple weeks ago, Robert and I had driven to one of my grandmother's homes. My grandmother and my family were gentrified out of the county in St. Louis called Richmond Heights. We had lived there for generations. I mean, literally generations. We had a lot of land there. But they came in, the city or the government, whatever, came in and basically offered my family money. And, of course, they moved. Everybody moved out. And then my family moved to the city of St. Louis, which was completely different, but that's what happened. And my grandmother and my aunt, I wasn't here, but this is just what I know. My grandmother and one of my aunts had purchased a house here in St. Louis, a very, very large house, big house. I think it was built in like 1890. It tells you how old that house is. And this house, you know, it probably needed a little bit of work, but it was very livable. It was a nice house. But some family members ended up gaining the property because of death. They gained the property, and then they didn't pay the taxes on it. So this is the exact situation that Tiffany was talking about. They didn't pay the taxes on it, so then the LRA got it, the land renewal something. I don't know what that exactly stands for. I could probably tell you in a second, but The LRA got it, which is, you know, the city. The city took over it, and then they, like, boarded up, and then it's kind of condemned. Well, this particular house, I saw it, and I was like, oh, my goodness, look at my grandmother's house. This is terrible. This is crazy. Who owns it? You know, we looked up and down the block to just kind of see what the climate of the neighborhood was, and the neighborhood is not too bad, but this house is just sitting there with a bunch of stuff going on it. I mean, you can only imagine what's going on the inside, because, you know, it's like 8,000 square feet, the whole property. And so we went down, Robert and I went down, after talking to Tiffany, we went down to the LRA office to find out about this property and, like, what the status was. This was just the other day. So we're putting these things into place right now. So we went down to the city, and those people told us that that property is $1,000. Now, remember, like I said, it is about 8,000 square feet, meaning, like, the whole, I don't know if that's, I can't, I don't know, but it's 8,000 square feet. That's what they have on the record. And you can get this for $1,000. Now, that's just what they're asking. And further research, the house has been sitting, I think, for about 11 years. So you could probably go in and you could negotiate that $1,000 to maybe half or a little less than that, you know. But what is the harm? What is the harm in doing that? Now, of course, this property will need some work. And when you go into these situations, it's not all the time that the property will need work. Like Tiffany was talking to us about her property, and her property's ready to go. I mean, she's got a property that's good to go. But this particular house, you know, it's a house, whether you decide to tear it down or rehab it or whatever, it's property that you have obtained for $1,000 or less. I mean, you cannot beat that. You cannot beat that. That is just way better than getting a mortgage. That is better than, I mean, just anything that you've ever learned about. So I'm excited about that opportunity. I actually have an appointment with the LRA office on Monday. So I'm going to scout around the area, which there's a lot of property here in St. Louis, you know, but I'm going to scout around the area and find out if there's something else that I'm actually interested in, because if I am, then I'll just take it all to the place at one time. And yeah, I'm just really excited about that opportunity, because I remember a few years back I was wanting to own property, but I really didn't know how. I know the opportunity was there for me to enter into a mortgage, and the mortgage would have been $4,000 a month for the next 30 years. And now that I think of what my economic situation has been over the past few years, I know that that wouldn't have been a good situation for me. It wouldn't have been a good situation at all. So I'm so glad that I was wise and I did not enter into that contract, because now I'm in a better position and I understand these things a little bit more, and options are open. So you all just have to really think about those things. Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm not sure why I'm hearing myself, but let me try to figure that out. Okay, everybody. Robert is not realizing that we're actually on the show. He's in the other room listening to me talk. Not realizing that we're actually on the show. Okay. So, anyway, everybody, we just need to make sure that we are exercising better options and doing things in a better way for our people, and also teaching our children a better way to do things. Because if you don't do that, then they'll enter into these mortgage situations that are not healthy for them at all, you know. So, yep. Again, everybody reach out to Tiffany if you're interested. Reach out to us if you're interested. Bring some things together in small groups to make some bigger things happen. Because after getting this information, we were very excited and just really looking forward to going full throttle with owning property. Again, it's not necessarily that you have to buy property that has a house on it, but just owning land, you know, especially if you know that they're doing things in these areas where they're gentrifying. I mean, they're gentrifying everything. They're changing everything over. Even where we live right now, I mean, it is for years just been a situation where it's less desirable, I should say. But now we see that they're doing street improvements and asking questions and just doing all these little sneaky things that they always do. But yeah, that's why it's just really wise for you to own property at this point. But again, you know, you got to do your research in your area that you're in. You need to make sure that you know, if you have a tax lien state, a tax deed state, you need to go online and get those lists. You know, again, I've been trying to do this for a while. I didn't know what I was doing really, but I've been trying to do this for a while. I mentioned this gentleman that came into the flea market before, and he was trying to tell me how to do this, but I don't know. You know, you just kind of discount people because you just really don't know if they know what they're talking about. But he did. He ended up knowing what he was talking about, and now the information is just really coming to fruition. Like, I'm putting it together. He actually went to the library with me, and and then he showed me some things, so it was really, really beneficial. Let me see. Okay. Robert, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, good. Welcome. Welcome to the show. What, have you just sat back and was an audience listener? What are you doing?
Yes, I was enjoying the show perspective today.
Well, what we have to do right now is go to our last commercial break. I believe that's what Scotty wants us to do. Things have been kind of stumbled around, but it's okay. You're listening to Blacks in Business Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. Please support blacktalkmediaproject.org. And also, Scotty has a project. I'm going to have him come on and talk about that in the last few minutes. But we'll be back after these messages, you guys. Okay, we're back, I guess. Okay, Robert. So I was talking to our audience about the guy that came into the flea market, you know, some months back and was showing us all of this different information. And at the time, I think you would agree, it just seemed like, okay, because of his presentation, it just didn't seem like he really knew what he was talking about. Do you agree?
Well, definitely so. A lot of it is terminology, and when you don't understand or know the terminology, then you can't really, it's hard to really teach it to someone that's foreign from it, especially if you're not walking them through the process. So
right.
When he was explaining to us, it was, he didn't really know the terminology, even when, as you said about going to the library. He either just didn't want to expose the hand completely, because I think that it could have been really exposed to us if the time didn't permit itself for him to actually walk us through the process. So I'm gonna put it there, you know. But definitely, when the sister, as she was expressing about how this is all done, she knows the terminology. See, she this is something that she's used to, so she could express it in a way that if you have just a little insight on it, then you could pick up on the things. Like myself, I never bought properties from tax sales. However, I have a lot of people that I know that I've, you know, done business with. They have bought properties from tax sales. They know how I buy properties. And I always say there is no one best way to acquire real estate other than acquiring it. So, you know, so this is just one of the ways that, like I say, the people I know, they were buying it from the auctions, but they were buying it pennies on the dollar. So that always intrigued me. I'm like, man, I know a guy that bought a property right down from my California and Utah address, literally paid like $1,800 for a two-story house, brick house on the south side on Utah. And I felt some kind of way. I was like, damn, that's a serious deal. Even though the way I buy it is different, but that's a cash out type of situation. In his situation, he had to go in and do some work to the property. In a lot of situations that I know, they're like that. But then there are those rare situations buying tax properties where you probably can go in and a gut out was already started. Or in some cases, like the sister was saying, that the property only needs to be cleaned out, painted, and it's up and going. So, I mean, like,
yeah,
again,
I think there's a lot of properties like that that are okay. I mean, I think that there are more that we just don't know about that actually are okay, you know. So we don't want to put that stereotype on the property that, like, oh, it's going to be dilapidated and you have to gut it out and start over again, or it needs to be torn down. No, that's not the case. It could be the case, but it's not the case in each situation. Some of them, like Tiffany was saying, you know, she chooses to get those properties if she can that someone still lives in them, which totally makes sense because, you know, I mean, well, people live all kind of ways, but, you know, if somebody's living
right
in it, more than likely is a good property. And, you know, like I said, too, it's all about at least acquiring the land, because we don't even do that, you know. And with this opportunity being here now that we just found out about it, shame on you, shame on me, and shame on you, listeners, if you are not taking advantage of this. And it doesn't matter where you live, because you can get the listing online. You know, and you can take a trip. You can take a trip. It doesn't mean you have to get on a plane. If you are in the next city over, or if you're in the next state over, a few states over, this is worth driving to. But again, you don't necessarily have to do that. What you need to do is group together with people in that area. Like, you know, Tiffany is in Atlanta and we're in St. Louis. So we've kind of gotten together to cross-reference information and make some things happen. You know, you just need to open your mind and decide that you deserve wealth. You deserve to acquire these things that have been held back from us for so many centuries. You know, we didn't create these things, but we surely can gain the knowledge to acquire those things that have been held back from us.
Yeah, definitely so. And it's definitely something that we should take advantage of. Again, free and clear is the best way to be. And if it's livable and it's free and clear and livable, where it can pass inspections, all the windows are in, the doors are in, it's very you can take it to the bank if you need money and actually get money for that. You know, you can borrow money against it because it's equity, 100% equity at that point, you know.
This is what I'm thinking, you know, because you taught us how to do the owner financing, but that puts you on the other end of the spectrum. Like, you are the owner, so you could totally be selling the property to somebody who doesn't have the knowledge you do. You know, they could totally get the property. You could draw up the contract and you could own or finance the deal with the person that wants to buy that property that you bought and make some serious money.
Now, that's taking it to a whole nother level of financial understanding, because now you're dealing with interest and percentages, and a lot of times we don't go as deep as we need to go. That right there is the for sure win when it comes to real estate, because again, when you do the financing yourself, all the interest comes to you. Right now, if you got a loan from a bank, a 30-year mortgage from a bank, the bank loves to make those type of loans. I don't see why they wouldn't qualify mostly everybody, because 30-year mortgage at about 6 or 7% interest on a $60,000-$70,000 house, you're looking at almost $130,000 to $140,000 in interest payments alone. So the bank is winning. Imagine the bank having 1,000 deals like that. I mean, they're winning all along. So imagine yourself. See, this is when we put the power in our hand, to where now we can, instead of creating renters, we give our people the option to be homeowners. The difference between someone who knows they're buying something to own it than someone who knows they're only renting it is they see no incentive to take care of it as they would if they own it. Okay? And then when we teach them what equity really means, that, I mean, once you know that every payment that you make towards this house, along with the increase of value in the property values, now if you take care of this house and in 20 years you may have started out paying the principal payment on it was $50,000, but in the next 20 years this house could be worth over $100,000, and if you do some maintenance and upkeep, you know, it can maintain and constantly grow in value. See, when you educate people on that level, on that page, then they become more, there's more incentive for them to become homeowners, smart homeowners, and homeowners who want to see the property value in their community grow. Renters don't care nothing about that. There's no incentive other than I got a place to lay my head if I was a renter. Now, if we know about getting the house free and clear, and then have the knowledge. This is why I'm always on Facebook telling people that I will teach you how to create a mortgage note. You know, for $50, I'm only charging you $50 for something that's going to make you... The $50 is not even a drop in the bucket. If you just do one deal for the next 15 years, that $50 will come out of your first payment, mortgage payment from the house. But people don't. Our people just, we invest in what we like and what we want over more so than what we need, and we have to stop that. We have to put ourselves in a position of power, which is through correct information and then correct mathematics, then able to turn this thing around. We don't have to beg white folks to treat us fairly. We don't have to beg for police equality. We don't have to beg. We can create our own police force, because now we have the means by way of currency to be able to do that, you see. And the power is indefinitely doing the same thing that the banks have done, the same thing that the Jews have done, set up monthly payments for the next 15, 20 years at a fair interest rate on a piece of property. And that way is a benefit for the person that's selling it. I never have to go to that property to change a light bulb. I never have to go and cut the grass. I never have to go to replace the glass or screen or anything of that nature. That person is now the property owner. That's their property. They do all that. All I need to see is a monthly mortgage note going to my account. That's it. And everybody wins it. Situation.
Right, and it's the same thing. Like, we have to get out of this mindset of big government. We can only make this happen, go to the bank, or I did it like these other people did it, or there must be something wrong if they're doing it. We got to get out of that mindset, because that's not going to prosper you forward. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. These white people that you're trying to do things, you know, just like them, they didn't get there by doing things the quote honest Joe way. They didn't get there by doing that. Yeah,
that's right.
So what you need to do is listen to us and what we're telling you, because this is not a scam, it's not illegal, it's real, and it's right, okay? That's why you're stuck in the certain mindset that you're in, because you're thinking that if you go on this straight and narrow path, putting yourself into this debt, that you're going to have this white picket fence life and just live happily ever after. Well, listen, by now you should know that that the American dream is actually the American nightmare, because they don't even consider you no American anyway. So you better make sure that you get that you can get what you need to get, and you can pass the knowledge and information down to your children and your grandchildren so that they'll know how to navigate this system, okay? Because if you don't do things differently, you'll never have anything different.
Let me say this to you, to the audience as well. I heard Minister Farrakhan address the government as Moses did, as Moses was instructed in his time to address Pharaoh. He said, "Pharaoh, let my people go." Okay, now we're in a different time of Moses, and to say, "Let my people go," today, we have to then turn around to the people and say, "Let Pharaoh go." Now, what does that mean to the people, to those of us who are acquiring or seeking to be integrated into this burning house? Let Pharaoh go means that all the systems of Pharaoh have to be let go of. Now, people talk about credit. Okay, now, I'm just the opposite guy that, I mean, I don't have what they say about good credit, but I do know how to get things the way I need to, the things that I want, the things that I need. I know how to get those things without having the difficulty of not having the credit or even trying to use the credit. You know, there's languages that we don't use on a regular basis in our household with our children. One of the words that we should be using is wholesale on a regular basis, because we do a lot of retailing, shopping retailing, but we don't use the term wholesale. And wholesaling is everything that we need. Houses wholesale is going to the taxing auction. That's a wholesale for you. That's real estate wholesale. Okay? So foreclosures, buying them from the banks, foreclosure, that's real estate wholesale. Retail is getting an agent and buying it at fair market value. That's retail.
I don't even know if that's considered retail. That's like rip off. I mean, that, man, I mean, now that we know it's
retail.
Right.
And you know, and think about it, the same thing happens in retail on a regular basis, on a smaller scale. You can go to Schnucks and price that stuff all day in Schnucks and buy it all day. But what if I told you if you bought it wholesale, you half your bill is what you will pay. At least half your bill. In a lot of cases, it'll be 65% of the bill is going towards retail, and 35% is what the store actually paid for. So this language that we don't use is something that we need to be more familiar with. Wholesale, that's a language that needs to be taught to our children. How do you buy it wholesale? Well, you buy it wholesale through the assistance of trade shows. There's a real estate trade show in Las Vegas. There's all kinds of trade shows, retail trade shows, car trade shows, just so many different trade shows. And the language at the trade show is quite different from retail. Turnkey, all this type of stuff. you know, you have no reason to know what the term turnkey means if you're not in retail, if you're not buying wholesale. You have no reason to know that. But you should know that, because if you understand wholesale and you're trying to reduce your bottom line in your house is a business too. What if you can get your electric wholesale, or your gas, your utilities wholesale, or your water wholesale, or the insurance on the house wholesale? You know what I'm saying? There's ways of doing this, these things, and we just don't know. Your, everything in your house is purchased wholesale and then sold retail. But we don't have these conversations, these discussions in-house with our children.
So they because never we don't know to have the discussions. That's why. We don't know. We stay stuck in a box, stuck in a job, stuck in a rental situation, to where we don't have the correct information to pass on to our children. I mean, everybody listening here should be passing this information on to their friends. How's it your friend if you're not educating them? You know what I'm saying? How are we family if you're not sharing what you know with me so that I can prosper? How are we going to build anything, anything? I'm talking about how are we going to build a sandcastle together if you're not interested in sharing what you know, and vice versa? We have got to stop the madness. You know, what I'm saying now is I'm not trying to collaborate with everybody, but I will collaborate with those who truly want to do some things, you know, because some of us get tired of getting together with people who are saying they want to do something, but then they don't. And a lot of times it's a money issue. A lot of times it's a money issue, and that's okay. You know, it's okay. See, and we can work with each other with those types of situations, but you got to be honest, and you have to come forth with what it is that you have, because everybody has something to offer, okay? Everybody has something
that's
to
right.
offer. But what we want to do is... Go ahead, Robert.
Oh, I, if you are about to share information, contact information, then I'll let you do that, because I wanted to tell the people definitely how to get in touch with me if they want to learn how to create a mortgage note. And a lot of people don't even believe that this is something that can be done, you know. And I hear it from real estate agents. I mean, so I hear this language from some of the people that I would least think would think like that, but then I have to say, I have to realize that what I've been taught is something that hardly any of my peers know about. And I'm talking about people that have made millions of dollars in real estate don't even know how to create a mortgage note. So I have to be humble and understand that this is just something that's not taught to everybody, to a lot of people. And I just happen to run into a very precious information that really has changed my whole reality. I don't have to worry about qualifying to buy a piece of property now. With the knowledge of what you have shared.
I'm saying, so if people want to get a hold of you, they can contact us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Just send an email message. Just send a message and we will get back to you. I'm not sure what happened. Also, for those that are listening live, it looks like our recording went off. I'm not sure what happened. But for those that are listening live, we want to make sure that we put this information out there, that there is a fundraiser going on right now for New Abolitionist Radio. It's called Millions for Prisoners Human Rights Rally in Washington, D.C., and it's Scotty Reed and Max Parthas. They are gathering funds together so that they can go to this march, and it is really soon here. So far, they have gotten $822.65, and that is half of what they need. So you all should go and donate to that that cause, and I'm trying to see if I can find where that link is here. Let me try to go back a little bit. Okay, blacktalkradionetwork.com/newabolitionist /fundraiser/. Okay. Or you could also message Scotty on Facebook. Scotty Reed. Reed Scotty. Actually, it's backwards. But yes, we're going to make sure that we get that in because fundraisers are important because, of course, this is supporting our people and this is to end slavery. Tune into the new abolitionist radio show that comes on once a week. Look on Black Talk Radio Network to find out that time. But what we want to do now, people, is because this has just kind of been a long interview, and we thank you all for listening. Feel free to reach out to us again if you have questions. Feel free to reach out to Tiffany if you have questions. We are happy to help you on your pathway to entrepreneurship as we are teaching you, we are learning too. So thank you for listening to us on Blacks in Business Radio. Join us again next week at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Black Talk Radio Network. Thank you so much, and good night.
Good night.